Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2012, and we're $70,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.
I always believe in prayer. I believe in prayer when I go to church back home, and if a Buddhist monk is wishing me well, I'm going to take whatever good vibes he can give me.
We have a president and a political party dedicated to the proposition that an entire class of human beings can be set aside to be killed. That is no light matter.
Most other people call it contemporary worship. It's not contemporary. It's 200 years old. It's called revivalism.
He says to them, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, and I will show you what God's payment is. I will be the payment that you cannot be.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
The headline in the New York Times reads, this is from a couple days ago, Christian right failed to sway voters on issues. And wow, it really appears that that is true. Now, if you just take it in terms of the Christian right, if you think about the issues that were winners, so to speak, during the last general election, it was same-sex marriage. What else did we do? We also had, in the election of the president, we had 4 more years of a pro-choice, to put it nicely, the pro-choice agenda. And without the prospect of facing re-election, he can do what he really wants to do now. And then there are the other issues that I think discouraged Christian voters. What do we make of this? Do we believe the headline of the New York Times? Welcome back to Issues Etc. live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us to talk about persuading young voters and unmarried mothers on the issue of life and traditional marriage. It's a task that, well, it's not just a task for the next 4 years. It's going to be a perpetual task if we're concerned about natural marriage and the protection of unborn life. After that, Pastor Tom Baker will be joining us. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, David and Jonathan. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
I'm going to read the lead to you, and you tell me whether or not you agree. This is a lead from the New York Times story on the 9th of November. Christian conservatives, for more than two decades a pivotal force in American politics, are grappling with Election Day results that, here's the important part, repudiated their influence and suggested that the cultural tide, especially on gay issues, has shifted against them. Elsewhere it says it was a rejection of the Christian right agenda. What do you make of it?
Oh, please, is what I make of it. I mean, honestly, the New York Times has been predicting our demise for a long time. You know, so why should I take them any more seriously this time than any other time? I mean, it's true that we lost some things here, but let's get this in perspective. More people voted for marriage than voted for the Republican ticket. Okay, so if you look at the states where marriage was on the ballot, in all four of the states that had marriage issues, more people voted in favor of natural traditional marriage than who voted for Romney and Ryan. So what that says to me is that the Republican Party did not really campaign or run on any of the social issues. To me, that's the big disgrace. I mean, the Republican Party has decided that they're not interested in these issues. The elites of the party have decided that it's all about jobs all the time. And so Barack Obama put out his values and campaigned on his values, and they stood out there in the atmosphere unchallenged and unresponded to, and so people flocked to those. And in the meantime, all that the Republicans offered was pocketbook issues, which, important as they are, they're not inspiring in the same way that a values vision would be. So I think that the New York Times has always been looking for excuses to write our obituary. And I'll just tell you for a fact that I'm not going anywhere. I'm not dead yet, and I don't think you are either, Todd.
So let's talk about two groups, and we'll break them down one by one.
Okay.
For whom it appears to be a pretty critical task, at least in terms of electing lawmakers or changing votes, that we try and get, at the very least, these two groups to move the issue of natural marriage and the protection of the unborn at least from the back burner to the front burner, or even onto a burner of their issues that they vote on. The first one being young voters. What's the problem here? Is it a lost cause?
Well, you know, Todd, as you know, the Ruth Institute talks to young adults all day long. That's our mission. The Ruth Institute promotes lifelong married love to college students and young adults. And so we're not involved in electoral politics. That's not what we do. But we're interested in educating people and supporting people who want to have good and sane Christian values in their lives, which really amount to values that are possible to actually live. You know, there's an enormous amount of turmoil and difficulty associated with trying to live the lifestyle promoted by the lifestyle left. And so we're actually trying to help people deal with that. So I know for a fact that there is a lot of interest in what we are pleased to call the traditional values. There's a lot of respect for the ancient Christian teachings, and the issue is to allow those things to have a hearing, to have an honest hearing, and that's why I think supporting educational efforts such as the Ruth Institute is more important today than ever. The political people, what they want to do is kind of fly over the scene at 20,000 feet. And radio beam into people's TVs, TV ads and sound bites on the radio and things like that. That's what political campaigns do. They're mass media strategies. They are impersonal strategies. They're sound bite strategies. And what really needs to happen is we need to actually be engaged with young people and young adults where they are on the ground, talking to them, building relationships with them, showing them that we care and that we have answers to the problems that are really bothering them. Because, you know, the quick fix people are also quick fixes with solutions. They're not offering, you know, somebody gives you an abortion pill and tells you to go home, that'll solve all your problems. That's obviously a lie. You know, if a woman comes in and feels so desperate that she has to kill her baby, there's obviously something going on, you know, and somebody should be talking to her. So I'm not discouraged at all. I mean, I feel that it's all the more important that we be engaged in the educational work that we've been committed to from the very beginning, that this is what absolutely needs to get done. I'll just tell you one story from when I was back east last week. I was at a large state university in North Carolina, and it came out in the course of my conversation with the students that in many of the dorms on campus, they have resident advisors who are gay. So they have gay men or lesbian women who are the RAs in their dorms. So what that means from a college student's perspective, what that means is that the person who's helping you solve your interpersonal crises, the person who's planning activities, social events, movies, things like that, the social life of the dorm is being steered by people who are same-sex attracted. Now that is a ground game. That is leverage. That is traction. And nobody on our side is taking seriously the idea that we have to be as engaged at that fine a grain of level as the other side is so obviously engaged.
What about the other demographic group that I mentioned earlier, and that is the unmarried mothers? How do we bring them in?
Well, you know what? I think that's a more difficult problem for this reason. The unmarried mother is only possible because of government largesse. Or I shouldn't say that. It's largely possible. Government largesse is one of the things that makes that possible for a lot of women. And the reason I hesitate to say that is that the phenomenon of being an unmarried mother by choice is moving up the socioeconomic ladder. So it used to be something that only poor women did, and now it's becoming increasingly more and more women higher and higher up the socioeconomic ladder are making that type of lifestyle choice. So these are people who are not engaged with their child's other parent, at the very least, and so when they need support, it's not unusual that they would turn to institutionalized forms of support, such as the government, you know. And I think there are people who are actively cultivating that and counting on that. I mean, I think that's a strategy that some people have, that we build up a larger base of clientele for our programs. They're going to vote for us. They're going to be consistently on our side. So that's a little bit tougher nut to crack. But I don't think, even that, I don't think is impossible, because I think that a check is no substitute for a father. A check is no substitute for a friend or for a personal relationship. And I think that it's very important that Christian conservatives, social conservatives, Catholics, Lutherans, whatever the denomination may be, that we be reaching out to people and offering them help that is personal in nature, so that they can feel more connected to the community than they do to the taxpayer and these kind of impersonal governmental services. That, I think, is the real challenge, and it's a big challenge. But I don't think it's undoable. I just think it requires us to be thinking more about the gospel and less about politics.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Find out more about the Ruth Institute during the Thanksgiving break at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker the remainder of this hour, teaching a Sunday school lesson starting in 1 Samuel 18, where we see David and Jonathan as the kind of famous friends of the Old Testament. Their relationship, in spite of all the politics and the palace intrigue, they are friends. They cannot always help one another, although they try, but they remain friends in spite of the fact that David's arch enemy is Jonathan's father, King Saul. We'll tell the story with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2012, and we're $70,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen on Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.